this.
Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crank enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, back to your phones, as promised. 4:03 in the afternoon here on Felger and Maz. Jake in the car. What do you got for us, Jake?
Felger, Maz, I'm scared about Pittsburgh. They're being shamed. They're being disgraced. They're being disowned there. They know they've got to win to save Tomlin's job, and Tomlin's a softy on them, so they don't want to see it. Meanwhile, Felger, have you seen the Instagram accounts of our guys this week? It's symbolic of a lack of focus we've seen on the field. They're no different than the rest of our society, distracted, ADD-driven. Felger, you wonder about that Brady-Belichick Tuesday evening meeting. If you looked at Tom's Instagram accounts this week, I've seen posts of dogs and kids during normal business hours. I've seen happy birthday wishes to McGinnis. I've seen him like an Isaiah Thomas post yesterday during normal business hours. You've got a QB that can't remember how many timeouts there are, but he can certainly remember that Ashton Martin got a post last week on his Instagram account. And then, Jim, you want to talk about Gronk. Did you see what Camille posted last Friday about her lifting Gronk up? 100-pound Camille Costa lifting Gronk up last Friday. Oh. No wonder he can't break free of a defender anymore.
I'll look Ellen's that up right now.
Hightower's got posting. It was an Instagram story, so it doesn't exist there anymore. Yeah.
Hey, Jake, I'm just going to let you go there.
That guy's annoying. Oof. Oh, God, is he annoying. So, look, I'm telling you, the Steelers, the whole idea that the Steelers are you know, under stress at the moment should scare you. I just think in football, that's the way it works.
Yes, but that's not why they scare me. They scare me because they have a lot of talent in their home. And you scare me. The Steelers don't scare me. You scare me.
It's all the above. I don't love the spot.
And it's not necessarily because of your Instagram posts. Although, I don't know. I haven't looked at him. Was there anything concerning on there, Murray? Really?
No,
truly?
No. Oh, well, I was looking at Gronk's girlfriend there, like the caller suggested. Maybe he's got the old weak legs, you know, like Rocky Marciano used to say. Got to stay away from the sex. Maybe that's what's been keeping Gronk from having the season that he's had in the past.
You scare me.
I think this game could go either way because I think both these teams are, you know, relatively fragile.
And the bounce back from last week. I'm not sure you're the same team. You know, the old Patriots bounce back from last week, and it's, you know, on to Pittsburgh and all of that. I don't know if you're the same team.
And I mean, so, with Gronk and Matthew Slater talking after that game about, you know, keeping our confidence and not losing focus.
No, going to test our character. Yeah. And Slater talking about if we have grievances, we need to air them. It was really quick after the game where they're talking like that. Like, that's going to test our mental toughness. Before it even really sunk in, they're talking about the mark that it left. So I don't know. We'll see. There's Patriots teams that would blow right by that thing and actually use it to go on a run. Is this that kind of team?
Like, who knows what happened there? I have to believe something did. You know, we haven't really heard any reports, but is it, you know, that crazy to think that Brady, after the end of that loss, you know, went off on Bills saying, you didn't put one of our best players on defense in the Super Bowl back in February. You didn't put one of our best defensive players on the field the last effing play. F you, you mother effer.
I mean, there's such an easy dig there. So, you don't want to use one of our best corners in the Super Bowl, but then in this one, you don't want to use one of our best safeties on the last play of the game.
Yeah, what do you have against putting your best players on the field? Really? Like that? That's what, so, Bill, what is it? What is it exactly about you keeping the best players off the field at the big moments? Is there a thing there? Do we have a thing? Like, you do wonder about that. The more I think about it, you know, the old guys on this team are past their prime. The young guys on this team are unproven and who knows what. They're in sort of a unique situation for them to be have unknowns on both sides.
Yeah, I was just saying that for effect. I don't think any veterans probably would have popped off, but some of these younger guys or maybe some of these free agents they've brought in.
What do we really know about J.C. Jackson's mental toughness or Jonathan Jones's mental toughness? Or for that matter, Kyle Van Noy. Like, or Sony Michel, Josh Gordon, do we know anything about these guys coming off a game like that? Meanwhile, Brady's 41, looks like he's got a bad wheel. Gronk's on the verge of retirement. Dante Hightower's been a shell of himself all year long. Malcolm Brown sucks. Like, the whole thing, you go right up and down the line. You look at it and say, Edelman's not the same player. Now they got to go into Pittsburgh coming off a bad loss. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to get there. I have no idea what's coming on Sunday.
Well, we've picked. Pick.
Yeah, Steelers.
We don't pick here on this show, Murray.
No, we're going to do it this week. It's Phelps and Brighton on the Celtics. Hi, Phelps.
Hey, how's it going, Ben, a little bit? Stu, if you're going to be such a baby and make a big production about the Celtics only showing up for the fourth quarter, it should at least be right. They were down 11 just after the half and finished the third up 7, only for Brad to put in the worst rotation I've ever seen to start the fourth and give the lead right back. But I think the Jaylen Brown people are wrong, too. It's not really a Brown thing. It's a mouth-to-feed thing. And I was wondering if you could remedy that on a game-to-game basis by sitting a guy for a game to give him the rest instead of limiting the minutes per game, yeah. You know?
Sure, of course you could. I mean, you could, you know, sort of jigger it however you want during the season.
I wonder if that's half what's going on
here. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, you know, Horford, well, we're going to take our time with him. And Hayward was sick. Well, no, he's, you know, he's still feeling the effects. He's missing another game.
Right.
So, like, I wonder if, you know what, guys, take it easy.
I'm telling you, this is easier on Brad. There's less people to piss off. There's less guys he has to face in the locker room after the game to say, I'm taking away your minutes. I'm taking away your shots. It's the decisions are made for him and they're made for the guys. It's that other piece when they're all healthy, they all want the ball. They all want their minutes. They all want their brand. They all, you know, that's where they were to start the year and it wasn't pretty. And they never really solved it. The guys started to get hurt. There maybe been a couple of games in there where Hayward went to the bench and was okay with it. But very soon after, Brown got hurt. Now Horford's hurt. And now Brown got sick again last night. And then Kyrie was out. So it's sort of like all those things were sort of settled for Brad.
Well, he did take one aggressive step, and that was changing the starting lineup.
And he put Marcus Smart in the starting lineup.
Right. And that was a big thing. I mean, it there's no question that that helped too. So, but, you know, I don't know. Guys are sick, and then all of a sudden they miss the second game. Like, usually it's one game, right? You know, and all of a sudden,
take your time.
Yeah, you know, Al's knee, we're going to make sure we get it 100%. 100. The guy's older than dirt, for crying out loud. And you're now almost a half or third of the way through the season. His knee's not going to be 100% again.
Steve in Boston with an NFL thought. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. In a quarterback-promoted league, do you think all the publicity about, oh, quarterbacks are so fragile, we got to protect the quarterback, and the NFL making all these different rules, do you think they're starting to creep in these guys' heads? Where, you know, quarterbacks like Roethlisberger are starting to think, oh, I am fragile. I got to protect myself and turn them all into a bunch of wusses.
I don't know. I mean, it's made him softer. I don't know if that's Roethlisberger's thing. Maybe Roethlisberger doesn't have full buy-in. Or maybe it's like, maybe you're seeing a little bit with Brady. Not as bad. I mean, he stays on the field. But Roethlisberger says, I'm almost done. I've been doing this for 15 years. If I rip my knee, I ain't staying out there. Or if I, you know, if I broke a rib, I'm not going to take another shot.
I mean, just look at him. I think he's been mailing it in.
Checked out a little bit.
Yeah, for a couple of years. I'm not just talking about, you know,
well,
a few weeks.
Just look at his weight.
Yes, he's huge. He's a fat pig out there, for crying out loud. Look at him. He's gigantic. And this whole thing with Mason Rudolph. Like, look, the fact is they're in a bad division. Okay, so they're 7-5-1, I think it is, and they're still in first place. So they're probably going to win the division and get into the playoffs. But if by some circumstance they collapse, if I'm the Steelers, you know what I do? I fire Tomlin and I say to Ben Roethlisberger, don't come back. Mason Rudolph's our quarterback now. Screw you. We're done with this. We're not going to get held hostage the way Brett Favre held hostage the Green Bay Packers. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to start over. We're going to start building around a young kid. You've had 4 years here to make a dent. You went to New England in the AFC Championship games a few years ago. You get your ass kicked or a couple of years ago. Now you're blowing games down the stretch, and you're still throwing those stupid-ass passes over the middle of the line into traffic. Like, what are you doing? If I'm a Steelers fan, I half hope that they collapse. They lose the division and Baltimore wins it so you can clean house.
Blow it up.
Oh, it needs to. That thing, as you would say, they need an enema. They need a freaking complete barium enema.
Is that what's in those?
Yeah, according to the internet. Yeah.
Derek in Foxborough. What's up, Derek?
Yeah, you said Brady never comes out of games. You're totally forgetting the game against Pittsburgh where Bledsoe had to come in.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that was 17 years ago, but you're right. But you know what? He didn't come back in. He was ruled out. When you're out, you're out. But fair enough. There was one that I forgot.
Super Bowl 2 weeks later. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. You're right. You're right.
Okay, and but on the game this week, I think you're missing the Steelers. Once Le'Veon Bell shut it down for the season. That was the end of the Steelers. Without him, they just don't have a shot. You know, he was a huge key to that team. And once he was done, the Steelers were done.
I disagree entirely. I mean, you know how I'm going to feel about that. I disagree entirely.
The one thing he gives him, though, that is a receiver.
Oh, no. They're better with him. I mean, I'm not that dumb. They're better with him, but their problems are internal, character, makeup, coaching. Those, they still have more than enough talent to be better than they are. Their issues are not who the running back is. Their issues are bigger than that. We continue with your thoughts. We still have to get to Brady's health. I keep forgetting that. We'll do that next with your calls here on Felger and Mass.
Felger and Mass, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
He was terrible. He was not good.
Terrible.
Well, not terrible. That's too strong. He was not good, and I think that he has an injury. It could be very serious. I don't know if it's week to week. I don't even know if it's the left knee. It could very well be the right knee.
What led you to say that?
Just the way he wasn't pushing off. There was a throw. They were in the red zone. He spun out of it. He threw left. And you could see it on the All-22 that as he gets up, first of all, he gets up strange. Somebody gives him a hand. Tooney, I think, gave up the pressure on the play. Gives him a hand. He gets up strange. And then right before the film cuts to the end zone angle, you see him look down at his right knee. There were plays there to be made that a healthy Tom Brady makes. The Hogan play. Even before the Hogan play, there was the throwaway out of the back of the end zone where he really didn't have all that much pressure. If he holds the ball an extra beat, Rob Gronkowski's wide open for a touchdown. But he bails early on that one. He bails early on the Hogan throw. There were other throws in the game where he bailed early. And to me, that tells me that Tom Brady is hurt. Seeing a healthy Tom Brady, a really good MVP Tom Brady, and then seeing him hurt, which is largely what we've seen out of him, I now think, now with this sort of context, I now think that the passing game struggles have been Brady-centric, and I think it has to do with his health. I don't think he's been healthy all year, and it's in the lower body.
That was Bedard's assessment, and again, he just picked up the second half of the statement. In the first half, he said how good Brady looked in the first half of that Miami game, and couple of those series against the Dolphins was vintage Brady and all of that. But then after the Gronkowski touchdown, he looked terrible.
He was terrible.
Thank you, Greg. There you go. Jim Murray gave me this story yesterday from Bleacher Report. They asked NFL experts and legends, does Tom Brady still have it? And got a wide range of opinions. But the ones I'm going to share with you are those of Warren Moon, because those were the most critical, frankly. So I think they're the most interesting. And there's also a parallel there that, the last guy to do this, what Brady's doing at this age, the closest comp is, well, Favre did it and Warren Moon did it. Anyway, they say that, they just give you the background of where Brady's at. His 59.6 passer rating against the Blitz ranked dead last in the NFL up until the last couple of weeks through week 11. His current 65% completion percentage and 3,700 passing yards, 23 touchdowns, and 98 rating are all middle of the pack. They write that all the greats fall and it's never pretty. Montana called it quits, Maz, after 187 starts. Dan Marino after 258. Peyton Manning after 292. Favre after 322. Sunday at Pittsburgh will mark Brady's 302nd game start. Okay, they say maybe Brady can will himself into the stratosphere never reached before. He's been shutting up critics his entire life. But with another postseason approaching, with battles against Mahomes and Rivers and Deshaun Watson perhaps looming, that question, is Tom still Tom, will be put under the microscope like never before. To Warren Moon, erosion is sad but inevitable. At some point as a quarterback, your body cannot do what your mind tells it. They say that Moon tried all the same tricks that Brady has. Moon became a vegetarian. He revved up his training. In Houston's run-and-shoot offense, Moon knew he needed to stay at his absolute physical peak. He had his own version of Brady's health guru, Alex Guerrero, in Oilers trainer Steve Watterson, and continued to follow Watterson's workouts after he left Houston. Like Brady now, Moon zeroed in on specific goals each offseason, his legs, his flexibility, his core. And at 41, Moon was essentially Brady before Brady. With the Seahawks, in 14 games, he threw for 3,600 yards, 25 touchdowns, dot, dot, dot. Then the next year, he cracked his ribs, tried playing through the injury, and that was it. He moved to Kansas City the following year and was finished. Okay, so they draw the line, or they draw a comp between Brady and Moon. Here's what Moon said about what he sees from Brady.
Yeah, I found these comments interesting, too. I read the same thing yesterday. Go ahead.
The numbers, said Moon, quote, the numbers are starting to show that there's a deterioration coming. Especially when you talk about the blitzing, because that's something he used to really excel at. You do start to lose some of your reflexes and responses. I started to figure that out later in my career, too. Even though your mind knows where you should be going, sometimes your body just doesn't react as fast. You're starting to see some of that with him. Agree or disagree?
I mean, it kind of looks that way, yeah.
Generally agree, but I would tell you this. The one thing I don't know, because they've had issues with Edelman and Gronk, is whether the issues with the blitz are related solely to Brady. That's where it gets cloudy for me. But generally, yes.
Okay, that his mind knows where to go, but his body's not following. Moon also said, most people think with a quarterback, it's your arm that goes. Your arm is important, but if you don't have your legs working with the rest of your body, being able to have those quick twitch movements to move in the pocket, to slide and buy yourself a bit more time, those are the things you start to see that don't happen as fast. That's where Tom used to excel. Even though he's not a great athlete, a scrambler or anything like that, he could really slide and move in the pocket as well as any quarterback and manipulate the pocket. Those things are starting to slow down a bit more as he gets a bit older. True or false?
I would say generally, based on this year, it looks that way. Of late, especially. Like these games at Tennessee in the second half of this one when there's pressure and all of a sudden Brady's not reacting the same way. Now, again, does he have an injury? I don't know. So this is why I say yes, but. Like, I feel like, you know, the answer to both questions you just asked me are yeah, but. You know, there are other potential factors that we have to consider. But if you were
but there are certain games, like you mentioned, especially the Tennessee game, that you can point to and say he does not look the same as he has in the past in the pocket.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that, and you heard Bedard talk about it a little bit, that, you know, bailout to Hogan in the red zone in the second quarter on Miami was vintage un-Brady, was just the antithesis of what Brady usually is.
Tom, I don't.
Thank you, Jim. Moon goes on to say, I don't think you fall off a cliff, but it is gradual. And once that gradual decline starts, there's no turning back from it. It's not like you're going to recapture what you had before. I don't think he'll be able to go back and have another offseason where he can get back to the form he was just 2 years ago. It's going to continue to keep sliding. And you just have to continue adjusting your game, and hopefully your offense and your offensive coaches will adjust and not have to rely on you as much to carry the team as they have in the past. That's the part I disagree with. I'm telling you that if Brady goes back next year, is the parking spot boy again, first one in, last one out, maniacal preparation, nonstop, all, you know, eat, sleep, crap football, film room, Tuesday night meetings with Bill or Josh. If he goes back to that thing, he's a better player. That's just, you know, I've been consistent with that from day one. I think it's taken away from his game this year, and he'll come right back if he, but so there's no guarantees of that, though. I mean, you know, we said before, is he going to go back to being that guy? If he does, I think you'll see him be better next year than he is this year. So I don't agree with that part with Moon. I think the quotient, the intangible that Moon left out, and I'm sorry, folks, this is just a fact.
Commitment.
Brady put in less work. And now people misconstrue. I'm not telling you he put in no work. I'm not telling you he's a slacker. He still works hard. He's just not at that insane level that he was for the balance of 16, 17 years. That's all. So he's putting a little less into it, and he's getting a little less out of it. To me, it begins and ends there.
Okay, so a second ago, I think you said that if he puts the work back in, you'll see his play improve, and he'll get back to the level.
Yep.
Do you think the coaches feel that?
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's a loaded question because Bill has sort of doubted Brady's ability to do this for a while.
Well, so that's true, right? So, and I didn't even consider that when I asked the question. But my point is,
something tells you that the coach says that if I have a passing camp and my quarterback decides to show up to it, we'll be better off if he attends a passing camp than if he doesn't attend the passing camp, because it's hard to have passing camps without quarterbacks. So I'm going to like my position better with the quarterback there. simply put.
So I don't think Bill would disagree with that, but I also think there's a reason Sony Michel's here. Like, the more, as I was reading it, they have to build the offense around you. They got to, you know, I started to think, oh, so you know what? Bill sees the same thing that Warren Moon sees. And he looks at it and says, it's going to get worse, not better. We're going to need to run the ball.
I don't know how he would have seen that last year, because Brady was the damn MVP. And he was as good as he's ever been. So how does Bill see that last year?
But he knew it was coming.
Oh, he's been failing. I mean, we all have. I mean, I felt it was coming 5 years ago. I was wrong. Like, you know, so, I mean.
He didn't have Garoppolo anymore.
All I'm telling you is I don't know how Bill saw it coming last year, because Brady was amazing in every facet, as he has for the last 3 or 4 years. Amazing.
He had the insurance policy, though, right? He had Garoppolo there, so if Brady did fall off a cliff, no big deal.
Just saying, so there's another one writing off Tom Brady. I ain't doing that yet. I didn't like the work he put in this year. I'm, you know, again, consistent on that, but I don't think he's done by any stretch. The way he played in the first half in Miami shows you. Okay, so back to your phones on this and whatever you want. We have had Red Sox stuff earlier on in the program and Celtics throughout the day after that amazing finish last night in D.C. Mike in Rhode Island, though, on Brady. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, you know what? I didn't see Roethlisberger get hit or stay out of the game, so I don't know how he stayed off the field, but he's been known to stay in the pocket with two or three guys hanging on him and throwing the ball downfield. Brady, on the other hand, I'm just telling you, he doesn't like contact at all. In fact, anybody gets near him, he goes down like a shot put in a swimming pool. And ever since he blew out his knee, I think he's been the most protected quarterback in NFL history. I have never seen him take a shot. I've never seen him get off the deck, walk off the field with his brain scrambled, and come back in the game. He's never taken a hit like Montana. He's never taken a hit like Steve Young. So he's never taken a hit like Aikman.
You're going too far. But you're right to say that he bails out of contact. There's no question about it. And it's gotten worse than ever. No doubt about it. He bails out of contact. I think that's smart. I wish my quarterback bailed out of contact more. So over the balance of Ben's career, has he taken more shots? Absolutely. Has he been willing to stand in there more? Absolutely. He also comes off. And maybe it's happening more later on in his career. And I'm sorry. I hold last week against Ben Roethlisberger. You should not have been out of that ballgame.
Yeah, forget Roethlisberger. His heart's not in it anymore. Again, his heart hasn't been in it for a while. And he has the audacity to get pissed off when they draft a replacement because they see him half-assing it and showing up like the whale that he is, for crying out loud. His fat ass. He looks huge now. Remember, he was never fast, but he was strong. It was hard to pull down, and he could move a little bit. Now, he's a big pile of jelly back there, the fat load. He's a dump. He's a complete dump back there. He is. You fat slob. He is, like, I find him disgusting now when I look at him. I said, look at him. He's not even taking care of himself.
He's got a little bit of the fat Felger face going on, too.
Oh, God.
Chubby cheeks.
He is. He's half-assing it so bad.
Only one way you get that kind of bloat. Booze.
And he's been doing it for about 3 years now. He's fat, and he's out of shape. He's a fat pig back there.
We continue with your thoughts. We'll circle back to some of the Celtics stuff. Red Sox calls on the board. I'll get to all of them, I promise, after Murray's update here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, I don't recall seeing a worse way to lose than what happened to you guys yesterday with that miracle in Miami. First of all, did you sleep last night?
Not much. That was a tough one for us to fly home on. I don't think anyone slept well last night. Losing to them is always tough, and losing to them in Miami, which hasn't been our most favorable place to play, but you know, we felt like we had a great opportunity down there, and there was a handful of plays that really cost us the game. But there's certainly a lot of things we can do better. We can learn from it. I always think you can learn from losing, obviously, a lot more than learn from winning. And we're in a decent position, and we got our whole season ahead of us, and you know, we got to go out and put together a great week and get back on track.
As Brady was scratchy there on Monday night, back to your calls as promised. Our buddy Guy is in Boston. Hi, Guy.
Hey, Maz, I got to tell you something. You're confusing me. One minute you're saying that Ben Roethlisberger blows and he's a fat slob, but you're going to pick the Steelers. Would you make up your mind? And by the way, you could tell Paul Perillo I did say thank you yesterday. Bye now.
Okay, thank you, Guy.
So I haven't picked anybody yet in that game, just to clarify.
Murray?
Okay. Yeah, I picked the Steelers.
I'm with you, Steelers.
Maz just is a scared. He doesn't want to pick.
It's only Thursday. I got another day. I need some time.
And I don't believe in the Steelers, but I don't believe in you. So if I have two teams I don't believe in, let's go to the home team.
That's how. That's basically.
And that's sort of. Isn't that sort of easy?
Yeah. And I mean, the fact that they lost that game in Oakland. If they ended up winning that game, I'd feel better about the Patriots' chances. I really would. It's like it's more must-win for Pittsburgh than it is for the Patriots.
Well, and this Patriots team this year, home road means more than anything.
Who does Baltimore have?
Baltimore's playing. They have one more tough game. They have San Diego. They're playing a Lamb this week, I think. Though.
So if Baltimore wins and Pittsburgh loses, Pittsburgh's out, eh?
They get Tampa Bay this week.
So, I mean, there is urgency there. With Steelers,
oh, yeah, no. Pittsburgh can't slip up anymore. That's it. It's gone. It's a half-game lead now.
So that does benefit them, but that's still not why I'm picking them. I'm picking them because I don't think you're the same outfit. And in the past, the real Patriots bounced back from a loss like last week. But if you're not quite the same outfit, do you bounce back from a loss like last week, or does it get worse? So there's that. Steven Taunton's been holding on Kyrie Irving. Yes, Steve?
Hey, boys. What's going on? Happy holidays. Listen. 3 weeks ago, I called this show, and when they were 10-10, I said, Kyrie needs to be a big alpha dog, 7-game win streak. I know he missed one game, but he was a pretty good cheerleader on the sidelines. Hmm. This man has taken over, and I also said about Brad, Brad has also been different. Thanks, guys.
See, I just disagree with that. Kyrie took over last night, but otherwise, I think you're winning on... What, grit, balls, defensive intensity, spreading the ball? It's that like all the things you've done the last several years. I think Kyrie last night carried you, but he shot under 50%.
He did not have a great shooting night.
It was a volume shooting night.
It was. He was under 50%. I think he was like 4 of 11 from 3-point land.
It was 12 from 28, I think he was.
That's right.
Okay, and it took him 40 minutes to get his points. So, I mean, he hit those shots at the end. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I don't think Kyrie's been carrying you, quote unquote.
No.
I mean, he's your best player, but he's not caring. It's not all about him.
No, definitely not. I mean, you know, last night, again, down the stretch, he was lights out. But overall, no, I would say they've had pretty good distribution. Morris has been good when he was out there. Brown has been good. They've been getting points out of him. Like, the distribution overall has been pretty good.
Since 10-10, this team has urgency. Because there are people, including beat writers, who were saying, oh, they're going to be fighting for fourth place. And there was one person who blamed everybody for it, and they're 7-0 since that person blamed the entire team for being 10-10 and underachieving and sucking.
Who's that person?
Me.
Hmm. You know, they're averaging 125 points a game in these last seven. I mean, like, and I think...
Urgency, Maz. It's called urgency. They're playing with it now.
But I think it does speak to the, you know, their offensive firepower when they play the right way. You know, Horford's been closer to the basket. Brown's been going to the rim. You know, Kyrie's taking his shots when they're there. Like, all of it. You know, to me, they're getting the best out of everybody now for the most part on the offensive end.
Sorry, I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at Murray.
Understood.
What?
Nicole in New Hampshire on the Red Sox. Hi, Nicole.
Hey, Felger. So first and foremost, I need to say that it is not Sandlot. It is Sandbox, and that's where I love Jimmy from. Secondly, you guys need to settle a dispute between me and my boyfriend.
Okay.
We are trying to figure out whether or not Bogart, Betts, or Bradley is going to get traded this season. We don't want to see Betts go, but I'm kind of like on the fence about Bradley. So I want to know your quote-unquote professional opinion.
Professional opinion.
About all of this?
Okay, Nicole. Well,
thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. She used to listen to you on the Sandbox on FNX.
Yeah, well, that was the morning show I would occasionally chime in on.
Okay. Do you think she really argues with the boyfriend over whether they're trading Betts, Bogarts, or Bradley?
Probably not.
No.
They might.
It's possible.
So the fact that all this stuff has been floated about Bradley, yes, I think it's real. I think they would trade him. I think there's people in their building who don't want to do it. The nerds love the guy, love his war and all that, love him. But I think that from a practical salary standpoint, he's going to get overpaid. He's going to get overpaid whether it's here or somewhere else. And they have too many other guys to pay. And so he's going to be the odd man out eventually. So they're listening now. I think the window's open. That doesn't mean they're automatically going to do it. But I think the tonality there is definitely the window's open. They're listening to offers.
They have to be. Again, they're not going to be able to pay all these guys. Bradley's got 2 years. And so his value right now is higher than it will ever be. And so, because a year from now, he's only going to have a year left. You're going to get less for him.
And Bogarts, I think they're open to, too. I think they're doing everything they can to keep Betts. As evidenced by this shifting him to number two in the lineup, and it feels like, you know, catering to his wishes there and announcing it when they announce it, all that feels like they're, you know, catering to the player there. So I think they're doing everything they can to keep Betts, and the other two are, you know, at the expense of those other two.
There's no other reason to do the Betts thing. Like, why would you move a guy who just won the MVP, was the best leadoff hitter in the league, you won 108 games, and in the past, he has told you that's what he wants to do. He wants to hit leadoff. So now all of a sudden he doesn't want to hit leadoff anymore? Like, you know, the fact that they're moving him tells me he's driving it. He wants RBIs.
More of your thoughts on Red Sox, Celtics, Patriots, Steelers coming up next in our long commercial-free segment where we will also give away dead tickets. Keep trying, Murray.
Yeah, I need them. I want to experience that again. I remember walking down the old garden and all of a sudden right down a side street, what do you hear? Oh, they got him. Quick, let's offer him like $5. See if we can get a balloon.
Potty time.
It doesn't last, but man, you laugh. Oh.
Yeah, I got an idea. Mike, you get the hats. I'll get the horns. We'll have a potty, and Murray, you got the balloons.
Dead tickets free for you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I just got to get something in me, and then I can start dancing around with you, Felger. A
little bit. I can feel you feeling it there.
You're leaving me hanging. Otherwise, I'm going to be walking around outside Gillette, finger in the air, looking for a miracle, kid.
I need a miracle, Murray.
Looking for a miracle, kid. Come on, hug me up, Felger.
Yeah, who's bringing the balloons, though?
Dead tickets coming your way at the end of the segment. Dead tickets at the end of the segment.
I got this dentist friend who can get us a tank.
I need a miracle and 4 balloons.
We continue with your calls. Mike and Worcester on the Patriots. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Big fan of you guys' show. I love what you guys do and what you're all about. So, anyway, for everybody out there, for all the fans for the Patriots, and I know they've all got this one question, and it's all bottled inside every one of us. And it's just the fact that, do we see a different Patriot team come playoff time? You know, is it a different playoff team? Do these guys get into form? Do they click back into the team that we saw them in the past?
So let me.
Do these guys click and have, you know, the urgency, sense of urgency to play playoff time? Go
okay,
ahead.
Yeah. So they've never really been that team, which is the flip the switch team. You know, the Steelers have been that team. There've been Plenty to the Giants did it a couple times. That sixth seed, that wild card weekend team that gets hot and plays well at the right time and flips a switch and goes. They've never been that team. I mean, so are they capable of it? I suppose. But their track record has always been establish what they are in the regular season. You know, win like 10 of their last 11 games, get a bye, get a home game. Win two games, go to the Super Bowl, and then win a nail-biter. Like, that's how they've done it.
Their last opportunity to do what you're explaining, what the caller was saying, you know, get hot at the right time, they were down 21-0 in the first quarter of the Baltimore Ravens in 2009. They've never done it.
So they've never made the Super Bowl out of the wild card weekend. They've, you know, I would say they've never won a championship, I would say, without establishing that in the regular season, without being a very, very good regular season team, too. And look, maybe they still are. I mean, a lot hinges on this game. If they win this game, they're 12-4, and you sort of say, I don't know, it was a great year. It was pretty good. And so, I don't know. I think a lot does hinge on this game. But the get hot thing, they've never won it that way.
So the only year I remember thinking that they flicked a switch, to me, was 2011 in the divisional round against Denver. Denver came in. It was the Tebow game. Okay, now bear with me for a moment. But I remember thinking defensively, I went, whoa.
Oh, well, they had no players, but they were home.
Right. And so
that Denver team sucked.
I agree.
And they're also, I think.
And you know what happened to them? But that, for whatever reason, I was probably dumber then, if it's possible, Murray. I was dumber then than I am now. But I looked at it and I remember thinking that I think Brandon Spikes had an interception in that game, if I remember. And I remember thinking the scheme, like all of it, they elevated in that game. And I thought, oh, maybe we're going to get. And then they lost the Super Bowl to the Giants.
Well, how did it look the following week? They were lucky.
Correct.
Because of Lee Evans' drop and Billy Cundiff crapping his pants with the missed kick.
Correct. So the bottom
Brady
line
was awful in that game, too.
Ugh. He was brutal. The bottom line to me is I don't believe in that. I don't believe that that's how they want to do it. I don't believe that that's who they are. And even the one year I thought it happened, it got disproven the next week. They're not going to just flick a switch. They're not going to do that. They can't. They've had trouble winning on the road all year. I don't expect that to change this week.
Here is Tony in Holbrook on the Red Sox. What do you got for us, Tony?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Happy holidays. Quick question, Mass. What do you think on Kimbrel's 6 years, $100 million request?
Yeah. Good luck to whoever gives it to him. It's not going to be the Red Sox. See you later. He's gone.
Are you sure? Was there someone who reported out there that the door is ajar?
No,
meaning that there's still a little possibility there?
No, I mean, not that I saw. I get the sense Kimbrel's gone. Someone's going to give him a multi-year deal. He's not getting six. Like, that's asinine for him to ask for 6 years. He'll get something, though. I mean, he'll get a 3 or 4 year deal, and he'll get his $18 million a year. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he got 3 years and 55. Six and 100? No shot.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.